Good morning and welcome to Town Square Sunday. I'm Jim Phillips. This morning, we're focusing on education. My guest is New Bedford Superintendent of Schools, Andrew O'Leary. We haven't talked in a while, Mr. Superintendent. Some things have been happening, and it's good to see you.
Great to see you, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
So, you put out a release this week that talked about government shutdowns, the feds. You didn't really get in a great deal of detail about the shutdown, but you did announce that breakfast and lunch programs will continue to be served at all public parochial charter schools in New Bedford. And that is laudable because it's a place where kids can eat, kids need to eat, be healthy, all of that. And hopefully enable them to learn better as well.
Absolutely.
But how are you going to do this? Like, I don't know how much federal money you get to run your lunch programs or breakfast programs, but how are you going to do that? Because the city wasn't preparing for a shutdown, I'm sure.
Sure, absolutely. So I think this is something of an anticipation. So this shutdown is longer than most, based on what I'm reading. And in some respects, there's no end in sight, it seems. So while the headlines are all around SNAP and there's significant concern appropriately around SNAP, we do see the likelihood that reimbursements won't be processed for lunch programs at the federal level. That it's reasonable to anticipate that. So this may have come as a surprise to put out a statement that, you know, lunch programs will continue for the year because that hasn't been focused on. I do anticipate there will be a stronger focus on that in the next few weeks. Some people will raise questions about reimbursement. So we want to get ahead of that and remind people that we have a very strong food service program in the city of New Bedford. So strong, in fact, that we've been able to build partnerships with our sister school, with Alma Del Mar Charter School, that have been very successful. We opened the Central Kitchen. So it really is a wonderful program. The employees are just fantastic, dedicated to serving our students nutritious meals every day. And that's going to continue. So we have done the budget projections. We carry reserves. And so even if there is a delay, we've been able to project and now state with confidence for the rest of the year, there will be no interruption. So if you do have a concern in the next couple of weeks or you read a headline, now you'll know that we have a plan for the rest of the year.
Okay. And that's great. Look, I don't know how much longer this is going. None of us know how long the shutdown is going to be. I think we're coming up on, in a few days, tying the record length of shutdowns. But, obviously all of us want to see this end and get everything back to normal. At least most of us do.
Absolutely.
You did open. You mentioned the Central Kitchen. It is working well. No bumps in the road.
No. Great. It's a great asset for the city. It's great to have the staff in there. Those of us who know the streets around County Street are probably glad not to have those big trucks barreling down Morgan anymore. And really now we're going to be looking to do more. There's nothing better than feeding our young people and feeding the community. Nothing better than investing in facilities that do that. So, yeah, it's been great to see the Central Kitchen up and running.
Can we talk about MCAS for a bit?
Sure.
I know that now that it's not a graduation requirement, the importance of MCAS seemingly, at least to most people, has it's diminished. But you still take a test, right?
Yeah.
Although less kids have taken the test.
Participation rate. Yeah. So big picture, actually, to back up. So under that federal law, No Child Left Behind, and under the reauthorization, which was called ESSA, around 14, 15, or 16, every district in the nation has to administer assessments, 10th grade assessments, as well as the third through eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And those differ in different places. So in as much as the graduation requirement was removed by the ballot question in Massachusetts, the assessments still take place. And there's nothing wrong with assessment. There's nothing wrong with testing where students are academically. There are flaws, I think, in how effective MCAS can be. It's automatically out of date. I like to say when you drive the car off the lot, that analogy, you drive the car off the lot, the value goes down or it's out of date. Similarly with MCAS, if it's administered in the spring and you get the results in September, other things might be going on. It's not the most current. That said, it is administered to 400,000 students in Massachusetts. And so you do have data. That data is useful. Now, we don't want the burden of administering that test to outweigh the benefits of that test. And definitely in no case is a test a judgment on the quality of a school in the whole and the quality of a student or the quality of a classroom. But it is telling us something, and we do spend a lot of time reflecting on what it is telling us.
So it's useful.
Yes.
Even in its diminished status.
Correct.
Has the state ever come up with new standards to replace the standards?
Yeah. So there's a big debate going on right now, and we did speak to this. I did speak to this in that we didn't take, or I didn't take a position necessarily on the ballot question. I felt there were other more pressing needs going on, and I did anticipate that eventually there would be this discussion, which unfortunately, having educational discussions through ballot question or legislative moves can leave a lot of nuance out. And I think that's what you see right now, a tension going on as to what will the final bill that will be passed to determine in the state's judgment or in the legislature's judgment what assessment should be uniform in 10th grade, across what subject area. So all that debate is going on. It hasn't gone away. But our work continues every day. Our work continues in terms of ensuring our students at the high school level and prior to the high school level are ready.
State Board of Education weigh in on that bill?
Yeah. So you have the department, and then you have the board that oversee that, and then you have different bills going back and forth. The consensus seems to be that in several content areas, obviously the core content areas of ELA, mathematics, and others, that there should be some end-of-course assessments. How much the district will have discretion in that, and how much uniformity the state wants across the state, that's to be determined. So we're watching that closely. But like I said, we are doing the work in classrooms every day and making sure the high standards are preserved regardless of what comes out of the legislature.
You'll be opening another building next month, I think, a health center at New Bedford High School. Mm-hmm. In collaboration with the New Bedford Community Health Center.
Correct. That is the last of our ESSER projects, the school-based health center.
Right. So tell us about that, what types of services it will provide.
Sure. So, and that will actually open in January. We'll be working through the final steps over the next couple of months. It will be a modular building, mm-hmm. Which is common. Modular buildings are you'll see them at UMass Dartmouth. You'll see them at the Brooks School as well. And essentially, if you think about what Greater New Bedford Health Center is downtown, it's an annex of that. We'll essentially have an annex of the Greater New Bedford Health Center proximal to New Bedford High School. And of course, you have Keith in that vicinity as well. So this is long overdue in Bristol County. There are a school health center now at Taunton, I believe at Diamond. But Bristol County, when we had started this visioning effort and planning effort, did not have a school-based health center. And now it will have a strong school-based health center at New Bedford High School, proximal to 4,000 students, but essentially open to the entire community like an annex of the Greater New Bedford Health Center.
Okay, so the services provided there will be a wide range. It
yeah.
will be limited.
Yeah, if you can consider that students, again, and parents and families have to interact with primary care providers on a regular basis. Now, that has an impact on school attendance. You have to take days off for appointments, or you have to get your paperwork here or there. It's just not convenient. It is really convenient and accessible. Those are very important words, and actually very technical words, is how convenient is it for folks to schedule, to build a relationship with your primary care provider, to make sure your other schedule isn't interrupted, or even to know that these services are here and available. And once you do have a strong connection with a pediatrician, a primary care provider, your health is better, your school attendance is better, and the community is stronger.
I know that when I first read about this project, mental health, mm-hmm. the mental health of students was prominently mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you already have mental health counselors?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about mental health, there's a whole spectrum, there's a level of complexity there, and it's an evolving field as well. And there has been a lot of talk in the wake of the pandemic that students' anxieties and needs are a lot higher. I think that may be part of it, but also just our understanding as a society about mental health is a great field to grow, and that we all need support. And it's just as important as physical health. And that support could be intensive, or it could be regular, or it could be one time. Now, the school-based health center, as of yet, will not have those services directly, but it does allow us to build on that as the next step. But again, mental health needs in terms of students that may have needs in building, we have a strong number of counselors, higher than the state average. We've hired more counselors in building. We have more health staff. We have what's called mental health first aid training as well. So the culture of understanding mental health and providing supports is stronger than it's ever been in our buildings.
Is there any other high school in the Commonwealth with a similar kind of setup?
Yeah, I think there have been for a long time. Connecticut actually has more than most. However, Massachusetts is catching up. So Worcester has a very strong program. Like I said, they're moving into Taunton and Diamond as well, and all around Greater Boston. Wherever there's strong hospital networks, invariably they grow out with federal and state support into schools as well, large schools.
You're listening to Town Square Sunday. I'm Jim Phillips. My guest is the Bedford Superintendent of Schools, Andrew O'Leary. I know that the school board recently passed the safety zone resolution. Mm-hmm. Is that resolution overkill? You had regulations already in place to prevent students being whisked out of the school building.
Yeah, I think it's an important statement to reassure folks. I think, you know, in this day and age, it's very hard to know. Even going back to our statement on school lunches, one can be accused of overreacting or underreacting on a lot of things. We think about school safety. The likelihood of severe traumatic school events and school shootings is very, very low, statistically almost zero. However, we speak to that all the time. I think we're in a very uncertain realm now in terms of federal immigration enforcement, so we have to think of all scenarios. I think the federal immigration enforcement is chaotic, so it's perfectly reasonable for the school committee to make a statement and a reminder to the community, and perfectly reasonable for the community to advocate for such a statement.
You haven't had any problems in your schools yet with
No, we haven't.
Showing up.
No, certainly not. No, so there hasn't been any interaction with ICE at this point. However, you do see in certain states and certain places around the state and around the country that those concerns get heightened when there's enforcement near schools or if families' lives are unreasonably disrupted by immigration enforcement. So you never know. So I think all in that context, it certainly was the right thing to do.
When are students going to catch up? When are New Bedford mm-hmm. students going to catch up after falling behind during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. It's probably the most important question in education right now is there a need to catch up? What is the need to catch up? Are we catching up or are we building forward? All of these things going back and forth. And so we talked about this on this program before as well. I think if you look at the state assessment, again, it's a reasonable way to look at things. The average performance has not caught up. Okay, now that's average performance against a cohort of students that's new. There may be more students learning English, so their literacy, their English language arts performance, we may see a bump next year and beyond as they're navigating acquiring literacy. We may be seeing a scenario where students who've traditionally performed well are performing well or higher. Other students who've been struggling performing are struggling more and lower. That drags the average down as well. So it's really on a student-by-student basis. So we may be seeing students with different needs. We're also seeing new staff. We have a very strong teacher contract that we settled and para contract that we settled in June. So we're onboarding new teachers as well. So how do you plan to support those teachers over the 5-10 year period? And all of that is happening at once, which is much more important than some of the other issues. As we mentioned, what's important is what happens in classrooms every day. So I'm confident we do have the plan, strategies, and supports. The data isn't there yet, but if we keep doing this work, I'm confident it will be.
But it's going to be years.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that was
not a simple thing.
That was the problem, I think, with some of the, I think Harvard Graduate School of Education put out these reports. Well, we have to do these interventions and snap back like a rubber band, or we have to have a conveyor belt and speed up and more intensive. We need to build resilient schools. You look at the most successful schools in New Bedford, Taylor, Brooks, Congdon. Those are what I like to call resilient schools. They have built and supported staff over the longer term. They've stuck to a plan over the longer term. And then they've gone down at periods and had struggles at periods. But now they are some of the standout schools in the state, I would say.
Attendance has always been an issue in New Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
any headway there?
Absolutely. I think we never want to take our eye off the ball. The best place for students is in school and building those habits of minds. But the chronic absenteeism numbers, if you look at them, they are above pre-pandemic. That's taken a lot of work. It's taken a lot of staff. It's taken a lot of support staff and different levels of support staff. We increased our partnerships, like I mentioned, with mental health providers, et cetera. And I think when we have the school-based health center up and running, I'm really excited about the chronic absenteeism. Also because we're actually talking about it in detail for the first time, that it's different than attendance, that we are developing strategies to connect with families, supports to get families back into school on a regular basis.
That, of course, is another long-term kind of, there won't be an easy, quick answer for
that. But and I think every year is a new year. So we could tout right now, well, we have great chronic absenteeism numbers, they're much lower, and all of a sudden it could change again next year. So the great thing, but the challenging thing about education is it's never done, and schools have to work for the long term.
But you're getting more kids in school this year?
Absolutely. Yep. And we have strong enrollment as well. I'm sure you've seen that. Are there less school kids in Massachusetts? Will there be a budget crisis because districts are built for more kids? The enrollment in New Bedford public schools, the enrollment in New Bedford High School is higher than it's been over the past 10 years.
Well, that's pretty good news.
Yeah, very exciting.
That's pretty good news. New Bedford High School is hosting a high school fair.
Yes.
Coming up on November 6th. I wanted to mention this. I guess there'll be three high schools making presentations.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you think about it, if you're a parent of an eighth grader, you're an eighth grader in New Bedford, that's a big turning point. Mm-hmm. And as much as it's clear to me that the best option for an eighth grader is to be at New Bedford High School, that is where my eighth grader is going next year. Three of his brothers have seen success at New Bedford High School. The best place to go is New Bedford High School. But don't take my word for it. Come along. And you will also see exciting options by Bristol Agricultural, which is the leading agricultural school in the state, in my view. And you'll see our friends and partners at Greater New Bedford VOC, which is an exciting array of Chapter 74 vocational programs. So you can't miss this. If you're the parent of an eighth grader, you need to be there on Thursday, November 6th, and you will be very impressed by what Aggie is talking about, what Greater New Bedford VOC is talking about. And you're likely to be most impressed by New Bedford High School, the home of the Whalers.
So I have to tell you a story. I know a young woman who, I think a year ago, decided to send her daughter to New Bedford High School. I had suggested to her that AP classes were strong there, and this was a good student.
Yep.
She was a good student, so she went. And she's told me this week that her daughter loves it.
Yep.
It's flourishing at New Bedford High School. And it's been an eye-opener for her.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that.
No, I appreciate that. I do think there's a general anxiety. We're all anxious about our kids.
Sure.
And there's a general anxiety about schools. And especially at these inflection points. There's pressure on parents. What is the best decision in the eighth grade? What is this best decision for college? As parents, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. But I will say this, what I've learned about New Bedford High as a parent is it's just a great community. The staff are there for the students, be it the nurses or the counselors are there for the students. The staff are there for each other. And it's so much fun as well from the outdoors club they sent me some pictures about their adventures and hiking last week, to the soccer team, which is now fifth in the state. With a young O'Leary on there as well. And so there's so much going on at New Bedford High, and I often say this, it's just a fun place. But as you mentioned, the academics and the pathways are top-notch.
There's something going on there. I mean, I know it's easy for people to bash New Bedford High School and MCAS scores and all of that, but there is a lot going on at the high school that you may not know about or think about, including educating kids where English is their second language.
Absolutely.
So,
it's a wonderful place. There's a great past, a great tradition, a great present, and certainly a great future.
My guest has been Andrew O'Leary, Superintendent of Schools in the City of New Bedford. Mr. O'Leary, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, and I will see everybody November 6th.
That's right, at the open house or fair, high school fair. And I hope you get a good turnout, really.
Really appreciate
graders,
it.
Hey, even parents of seventh graders
absolutely
might want to come by and check it out as well. Well, next, the crowd surrounding the Mobile Ministries food truck in New Bedford may soon be a lot bigger. That and much more when Town Square Sunday continues.